To each of you, I greet you in the name of Jesus. It's the only name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. So this morning, I have a question. Question for all of us, question for me. The question is, are you worshiping with strange fire? Are you worshiping the Lord with strange fire? The message came to me a couple weeks ago. We went to visit a different congregation. It was very different than what it is here. There seemed to be a great love for Jesus. They wanted to worship the Lord. But I was only there once, so I am not going to judge very too harshly, but it seemed like there was a disregard for his teaching, what Jesus taught, what the Word of God teaches. There was men worshiping with their heads covered with hats on. Women, none of the women had any head covering on. Women were teaching. It was very different. Then the next day, I was in a conversation about it with someone, and the question was asked, isn't the most important thing to have a relationship with God? And that made me think, is that the most important thing, to have a relationship with God? And I believe it is. It is the most important thing to have a relationship with God. But we don't get to decide. We don't get to decide the basis on which that relationship is founded. It's not, we can't say that, well, we're going to worship God like this because this is how I want to do it, or this feels good to me. So that just really got me thinking. So in Leviticus, this incident came to mind in Leviticus. So Abraham, from my understanding, I don't have a very deep understanding of this, but Abraham had just became ordained as high priest, and it says that his sons were supposed to serve as priests with him. And then, so Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, those are Abraham or Aaron's two sons, sorry, they took either of them a censer, and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them. And that's about all I could find on that. It doesn't give a whole lot of detail, but it says that they offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord destroyed them for it. So I guess I was just thinking about it. So on one side we have those who say, as long as you name the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter how you live. And on the other hand, there are those who think following a set of rules will save them, or we might be saved by the blood of Jesus, but the rules are what keep us. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Matthew 15:8-9 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So when we try to worship God, worship Jesus without following what he says, it's like strange fire. It's coming to God with strange fire. And God does not recognize that. He won't put up with that. And on the other hand, trying to serve him with man-made rules, that's strange fire as well. Leviticus 16. I was just going to read that a little bit there. It was Leviticus 16. Okay, so 11 and 12 there. It says, Aaron shall bring the bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. So, from my understanding is, they were supposed to, the fire for the incense that they used to bring before God to worship him was supposed to come from the altar where the sacrifice was made. And I believe that sacrifice represented Christ. So if we try to come before God with anything other than the sacrifice of Christ and in his righteousness, it's like coming to him with strange fire. So like Aaron's two sons, apparently they disregarded what God said there about getting the fire from the sacrifice, and they got fire from somewhere else. And they brought it before God, and God destroyed them. Romans 10, verse 3 says, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So are we going about to establish our own righteousness and not submitting to the righteousness of God? Luke 18, I'm just going to read there a little bit, verses 9 to 14. These are the words of Jesus. He says, And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. It says, Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we see the Pharisee was offering to God strange fire. It was not the righteousness of Christ. He was trusting in himself and what he was doing. He was doing good things, by the way. He was doing the right thing. But it was of himself. Philippians 3, 9. Says, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that's the, when we come to God, he wants us to be, to have the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Colossians 2:6-10. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. How did we receive Christ? We received him by faith. We received him seeing our need with humility, knowing that of ourselves we could do nothing. And it says to continue to walk in that way. So go on, we're going down to 18 to 23. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Therefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Things like touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So there's no way that a set of man-made rules are ever going to change the heart of man. It's not going to change what's inside. Now I wanted to go on into Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. These are the things that God wants us to deal with. He wants us to deal harshly with them. And there's no outward thing that's going to deal with these things. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I believe if we can get these things right, if we can let God work in our heart and get these and deal with these things, this is the kind of, then we're ready to worship. This is worship that's acceptable. It's in the righteousness of Christ. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I think I was going to go, I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered here. Philippians? Maybe I did already read that. Okay, yeah, Philippians 3, verses 1 to 9. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, are not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more." He says, "I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So he tried. He tried to follow the law, the letter of the law, and it didn't work. There was no power in it. It didn't please God. So I don't think we should think that we can do any different and please God by following the law or something that we come up with. It's by faith, by trusting in Christ. And when we trust in Christ and let him do his work in us, we're not going to live like the world. It's going to be different. I wanted to close with a verse in Hebrews, two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. It says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear." It says acceptably. That tells me that there is a false way to serve God as well, a way that He will not accept. And then, why should we do that? It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Just like Nadab and Abihu found that they didn't serve God acceptably. They found out firsthand that their God was a consuming fire. And that worshiping acceptably would be through Christ and the sacrifice He made for us and trusting in Him and in His righteousness. So that's all I have. God bless you all.